Northwest Christian School Online provides online Christian education for any students, ranging from kindergarten to 10th grade. The tuition is fully covered through the state of Arizona's ESA program and is affordable for families out of state. You can count on NCS Online for a rigorous, proven online program that establishes a robust biblical worldview for all students. For more information, go to ncsonline.org. That's ncsonline.org.
People aren't to make images of God because God has already made images of himself, so that we become people in whom God's image is being restored.
Well, G.
Yes.
It's April 8th.
Yes, it is.
Monday, April 8th.
It's the you know how they have the 12 days of Christmas?
Yeah.
Do they have the 12 days of April Fools? Like, that'd be fun, you know, because April, did you have anything happen to you on April? Because we're recording this on
April
2nd.
Well, April Fool's Day, it's funny because we've been pretty regimented about our Monday red letter challenge.
We have been.
Episodes.
We have
until
been.
Last Monday.
Until the April Fool's
we
Day.
We missed one.
Yeah.
And wouldn't you know it, that was the day that our listenership went through the roof.
Yeah.
We had so many folks that tuned in to the podcast. I was looking.
They were wanting the red letters.
I don't know what they were wanting.
Yeah,
the episodes that were listened to last Monday were far and wide. It was just a very diverse group of listeners. But it was the one Monday that we missed, and so we are off kilter. But that's okay.
Well, last Monday was with Walker and Tanner, and that was really fun.
That was cool.
That was really fun.
Phenomenal episode.
But we are back. Red letter challenge.
Back on track in a form. We're actually
in a form.
Not presenting the verse or the chapter for
we're
today.
We're not. We're last week. We can revisit the Bible. You know,
you can.
Once you read it, you can go back and reread it. Especially, I mean, the red letter. This is the start of the Gospels. This is, you know, we had a student, and you know him. His mom is Miss Aloha, and his name is Matthew Luke Johnson. And so I used to call him Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Johnson.
You know what I like about that young man?
Yeah.
His cousin is David Bazan.
Dave Bazan of Pedro and the Lion.
Of Pedro the Lion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we are so far off track right
but
now.
Let's get Matthew 1.
Matthew.
We have Matthew chapter 1.
And we're off kilter maybe, but we're not off kilter with our guest today.
This negative.
Chelsea
Super
Lawson.
Stoked. Yeah.
Chelsea, welcome.
Hello, everyone.
Such a good thrill to have you here.
Well,
so, Mrs. Lawson, you've been at NCS for like
3 years.
12 years? Feels like.
No, it's been 3 years. So we came in 2021. And so this is my third year teaching fourth grade.
Okay. And how's it been?
It's been great. Yeah. I love every minute of it.
But we're losing her, G. We're losing her this year.
Yeah,
she's
going back
headed back to Wyoming.
I am. I'm headed back to where I actually started my teaching career in Gillette, Wyoming. So my family and I will leave this summer to go back and be with my family. My mom and dad are still up there, and so are my brother and his whole family. So
good for you. That's a loss for us, but really am glad you get to go back. Wyoming's an interesting animal. We were talking earlier. This is the lowest populated state there is, right?
Yes.
And where are you in related? Where is Gillette in relation to like Yellowstone or where the billionaires live and the millionaires?
From Yellowstone, it's about 5 hours. We're closer to the South Dakota border. So we're only about an hour from the Black Hills. So if you come visit, you can go see Mount Rushmore. And it's about an hour away from where I live.
You've been there, Mr. Brown, haven't you?
I have. And the thing that I was telling Chelsea this earlier, the thing that I remember is that in my impression of the time, and I've spent quite a bit of time in Wyoming, is number one, it's a very beautiful state.
Yeah.
We've gone to Yellowstone, the Grand Tetons, but even in Black Hills, all of that we've explored. But beyond that, outside of those areas that everybody goes to, there's a lot of beauty in that state. And I think, here's my other impression of Wyoming, I think that it's the lowest populated state simply because once you stand somewhere, the wind... Oh my goodness!
Blown away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it just blows everybody into Idaho.
Yeah. We joke when we would have the kindergartners go out to recess sometimes, and it consistently would blow in the winter time like 40 miles an hour, but we'd have gusts 65, 70, and we joke around that the kindergartners were going to end up in the next state because they are so tiny. But it was, you know, strong live there.
My wife is from Minnesota,
yes.
and they have that thing called the wind chill.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's like the lowest wind chill you've been in Wyoming? Because I'm sure it gets like minus 30.
Yeah. Well,
minus 40.
My first year of teaching, we actually ended up not going to school for a week because with the wind chill, it was negative 50.
Negative 50.
And so with all of the kids that have to wait at the bus stops, it's dangerous for them to be out there. And so with the wind, it was like over negative 50. So I think the temperature was negative 20. And then with the wind, it brought it back even more.
Erica talked about some formula of like, mm-hmm. with the temperature, with the how many minutes unexposed skin would turn frostbitten or something. Yeah. And that's canceled school for that.
Mm-hmm. And then we also, for recess, it's anything below zero.
Oh.
So
it's two. Get out there.
Yeah. And there were some weeks when after two weeks of inside recess, you were like, it's above zero. Just go. Yeah. It's fine. You're okay. Bundle up.
Well, I've always thought, you know, that, you know, my wife and you grew up in this place where, you know, you get the snow days and the wind. I think we should have it's way too nice to be inside days.
Amen.
In Phoenix.
And that's where we're at today.
It's been so nice.
It is gorgeous.
It really is.
But now I don't think there are such things as snow days.
Yeah.
Because now they do it online.
They do it online.
Yeah. So then they don't have to make it up.
And so you came to Phoenix 3 years ago, your husband, and talk about your family for a little bit. How many kids do you have? And
I have two kids. I have Brody, who's in 8th grade, and then Olivia, who's in 6th grade. Brody's a big baseball kid, and then Olivia is our singer and our dancer. From the time she was little, she always told us that's what she was born to do. Mm-hmm. And so Bud, my husband, was working for a construction company and is now looking for a coal mine position up in Wyoming. So prayers that gets answered pretty soon. It's in our blood. That's actually his parents both retired from the coal mines, and so did mine. And so it's definitely things that we know and what builds that community up there. And we'll be moving back up by family, which my brother has 4 little girls under the age of 8. He has Heidi, Harper. Harper's 8, Heidi is 5, and then the twins are 2. So he has his hands full. So I think maybe we're being brought up there to kind of help him and his wife a little.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Absolutely. Well, we're getting today into Matthew chapter 1.
Yes.
And we're off kilter a little bit. Yeah. We're going back a week, but that's okay. But as we look at Matthew, I love this first chapter because there's two key pieces. There's genealogy, which some people find to be dry, but I don't. I think it's a really interesting thing. And then also there's some really interesting things about the relationship between Jesus and his earthly father, Joseph. But Chelsea, what is it, as you looked at Matthew chapter 1, what jumped out at you?
I mean, genealogy is hard for me mostly just because of the names and then connecting everybody. But I think the big thing for me was looking at all the connections, and I thought it was huge that there's like 14 generations between each connection that they make. And I thought that was a huge thing, but that it also is looking at the prophecy of the Old Testament and how that's bringing that Jesus is who they said was coming from the Old Testament. And I thought that was just a huge piece in this genealogy.
You know, I wonder, and you might not know this, or you might, Mr. Brown, like if this was kind of from the Old Testament, right? This is the line of David, and Jewish people don't believe that the Messiah has been. Do they still have kind of a track in the line of David situation?
I believe they do, and there's an interesting book that came out. We were actually talking about this weekend in our home. There was a controversial book, and I think it was by Richard Bagent and Lee, and it's called Holy Blood, Holy Grail. And they track in that book. This book was the controversial root of the Da Vinci Code book. And so in it, what I found most interesting was that the lineage is persisting, that they keep in mind since the time of Christ that lineage has continued. But what's interesting about the lineage here in Matthew is the fact that it tracks back to Abraham. Mm-hmm. Matthew, you know, we talk about the three A's, the author, the audience, and the agenda. And Matthew was written primarily to a Jewish audience. And so what he's attempting to do here is say, hey, Jesus is a direct descendant. He's connected to Abraham, which is awesome. But also, as we explore this lineage, you see plenty of kings. You also see priests. And so he's indicating that we are following the king of Israel, but also the priest of the line of David, of you know, basically all the way back to Abraham. Outstanding.
Yeah. Any of those names stand out? I mean, there's some neat names in there, yeah. But any names that rung a bell to you or kind of hit you?
Well, I loved that he also included Tamar and Rahab and Ruth, because I think that's such an important thing, because a lot of the times in the genealogy, women were not mentioned. And so the fact that they were just told me that we're all included in this, where he's including all of us in that grace of Jesus. And it wasn't just the kings and everybody. He had some people who had sinned majorly in that genealogy, and he's just pulling us into, we are all sinners, and that's okay. We're not coming from, he's not coming from a perfect line, but he is perfect, and so we get to be forgiven no matter where we come from.
Well, even as we see this, we see, start at Matthew, Jesus held a high view of women and children.
Agreed.
That did not carry a high view of society at that time. And just one of my favorites is, let the little children come to me, right?
Agreed.
And I love the way he did value little people.
Agreed.
Because you like little people, don't you?
I
like
do.
The fourth graders.
I do. Yeah. And even less. I love when I get to see the kindergartners. But seeing babies on campus is like my all-time favorite.
Isn't it great?
Makes my whole day.
This campus is so great. I mean, you walk around, see some... Hey, what's up, Walker? Big old 6'2", 300-pound dude, and then you see the buggies coming around with Mrs. Gake's little twins, it's pretty great.
It is,
absolutely love it. Well, so as we let's look at that genealogy one more time. Some of these names, I go back to Solomon. And I want to kind of hit your point with regards to there are names here that are surprising in the sense that they're not spotless records.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some sin here.
Yes.
And I think I like the word, the grace. I think the way you said it was the grace. We're all included in the grace of Jesus.
Right.
What a powerful way to say that. That is so cool. But there is just this realization when you look at some of these names that God does not expect us to be perfect, but he does expect us to follow him. Mm-hmm. And I think that is so cool, as it's illustrated here. As we look at, let's see, starting in verse 18, it says this. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Now, he could have seen through to the fact that she was stoned.
Yeah.
You know, she could have been publicly
executed.
She would
have been killed, right?
Yeah. But he did not do that. I love that. And then further, Joseph takes Jesus and cares for him as his own.
Agreed.
I love that.
And I think that's such just a huge thing, especially during that time, that he was led to do it and not to ridicule her. But I also love that later when the angel does come and give the birth of the son, and that it's going back to the prophet, and that you need to name him Emmanuel, which is God with us, I think brings back to that genealogy that he's always with us no matter where we are in our life, that we can always come back to him, and he loves us because we are his. And so I think that's just a huge piece of this first chapter, is bringing in that name of Jesus too.
Well, it feels like, and you said, Joseph doesn't get a lot of, like, as I don't want to say as much credit as he deserves, but not having Mary stoned, or, you know, I mean, before the dream, before the angel came to Joseph, he's still, okay, I don't want to, you know, he probably loved her still, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know how it worked, but it was, you know, they didn't choose each other, I don't think. It was more of an arranged situation.
Right.
But Joseph raising some a kid that's not, you know, we had Tanner Wisely in this booth last week, and you know him talking about raising a little girl that he didn't father,
yeah,
but doesn't have a father, so he's filling in and, yeah, and doing the best he can. And Joseph, I mean, what a neat picture for Tanner and for this little girl to one day know that, yeah, I mean, how she's connected to Jesus, who was kind of raised by somebody. And we have a lot of single moms obviously here, and
that's, you know, unplanned traditionally, but
right.
To your point, Chelsea, that was part of the plan.
Agreed.
Here, you know, well, that was awesome.
Like in this, in my Bible, it's got lots of notes, but I love that by pursuing the divorce privately, Joseph demonstrated godly compassion. Mm. So it wasn't just his own compassion. He was led in that way for the greater purpose. And I think that is huge in everything that we read with the Gospels. We know that it's for the greater purpose. And part of that was Joseph and how he handled everything.
The paternity, you know, and this is something that Joseph probably, we don't hear much about Joseph
after
the nativity. And that it could be the fact that it's just not an area of emphasis in the Gospels, or it could be the fact that some scholars would propose that perhaps he passed away. And that's just not relayed. But either way, we don't hear much about Joseph, but the paternity of Jesus remains an issue throughout the Gospels. Because at one point, for example, the Pharisees say, "We know who our father is." And so indicating, kind of giving a slight towards Jesus that Jesus didn't know who his father was. And it's interesting because one of the big slams against Jesus during the first and second century was this idea that Mary had been raped by a Roman soldier named Pantheros. And the reason that was such a, a controversial claim was because when Christ followers would say, hey, he was born of a virgin, the word that they would use for virgin is Parthenos. And so if you take that word, Parthenos, and you rearrange the letters just a little bit, it spells Pantheros, which was the name of the Roman soldier, allegedly. So the paternity of Jesus was disputed all throughout his life, and even throughout the first and second century. But I think that's what makes this genealogy, as well as the genealogy in Luke, so powerful. This one tracks Jesus back to Abraham, and through the line of Joseph. The one in Luke tracks through Mary back to Adam.
Yeah.
And so the dude is legit.
Yeah. There's so much, if you can get as deep as you want, right, in this stuff. I mean, it's really, and it makes more sense the deeper you go into it.
Yeah. Love it. Well, Chelsea, thank you. This has been an insightful conversation, and you will be duly missed.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have been such a rich and wonderful member of the Crusade.
You didn't throw your jackets away, did you?
No.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're going to need them.
I know.
Yeah.
Actually, we did. We sold most of them. But okay. I told my mom, I was like, we can buy them now down here because they're on sale.
They're on sale.
And so we might just pick some up before we head back up. We actually sold most of our winter clothes, so we're going to have to get a whole
new wardrobe. Kids are growing. And
Yeah. They never stop growing.
And kind of a dumb weather question. Like, how'd you adjust to the heat here? Like, how did that throw you guys for a loop? Because it's...
Well, it's hot. We lived in my sister-in-law's pool for the first summer.
Okay.
And I think the biggest, it's the same as Wyoming. You just don't really go outside.
You don't go outside
during that time.
Yeah. Okay.
And so I think that's the biggest thing is when you do go outside, you get there as fast as you can.
Yeah.
The only difference is in Wyoming, I have to get myself used to starting my car 20 minutes early again in the winter to get all the snow.
Do you plug it in?
No, not unless it's a diesel normally. We just, you'd go just start it early. So.
Well, again, Mr. We will miss you, Mrs. Lawson, and your children. And it's been fun having you here for these 3 years.
I'm going to miss it too. I said that during my spring break, I'm going to come back and visit and come just hang out at the campus, probably.
Yeah, absolutely.
Be careful because we might trick you back into coming back.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Well, Chelsea, thank you. And folks, thank you for tuning in today to Kingdom Culture Conversations.
Yep. See you next week.
Take care. Northwest Christian School has made Biblical Worldview online courses available to all high school students for transcript credit, regardless of whether they attend public school, private school, charter school, or homeschool. Frameworks is an exciting new initiative utilizing the learning management system of Grand Canyon University. For more information, visit BibleClassesForPublicSchools.com.